Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
You want to shut up? You guys want to shut up? Maybe take it into another room?
Welcome back to the Matt Best Companion Show on Drinking Bros, where I pretend I'm a smart announcer, but I'm not, because it's not announcing, it's commentary, and I'm getting drunk at 2 p.m.
2 p.m. on a Tuesday. Look, we're live from Las Vegas, right outside the McGregor fight. Where it all took place, and then fucking Tiffany Hart runs into him in the lobby with his whole family and doesn't even bother to go up and say, hey, Connor, you should come up and do Drinking Bros. Instead, she's breezed on by. Did you give him a... They got him for Broettes. Guy, could you imagine how pissed we'd be?
Wait, I thought I'm doing another episode of Broettes. This is not...
This is the Drinking Bros.
You guys are great, but they're a little more pretty than y'all.
I know.
You know,
a lot more.
Got to give it to them.
A lot more. As always, we are brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposit all the way to $1,000 at MyBookie.com/Drinking Bros. You can get your fuck on, a.k.a. start betting on the Super Bowl, because that's the biggest fuck show of the year, man.
Are you impressed here? Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
San Francisco 49ers.
Best offense.
I know who's going to the Super Bowl.
How much do you want
to impressed? I'm really impressed. You know,
when
that.
You're going back to see Jared soon, right? To do another show with him. Ask him who it is, and I'll fucking give him $20 if he knows.
The weird part is he does, because we're sitting with John Kavanaugh. He Jared knew sports, and he's like, man, and he dropped some weird fact about sports, and I was like, who are you?
Yeah.
The only reason I know is I watched the whole, the NFC Championship on, or AFC, whatever it was.
Yeah, on
NFC,
Sunday.
Either way.
On Sunday in the plane here, so I watched the whole game.
It was great.
It was a great game.
Best offense versus best defense. The point spread is one.
It's also an air raid offense versus a fucking ground and pound offense, too. There's a
Let
lot
me
of
drop some knowledge on you,
there.
Too. This is the first time since Super Bowl I that the Chiefs and the 49ers have faced themselves in the Super Bowl.
Look at that. Look at that.
Can someone Google that?
I'm God not sure. That's damn it. You have nothing in front of you.
Did you just make
no
that
computer,
up?
No computer,
no, I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
That is accurate, actually.
Because Green Bay won 2 and 3.
Yes, they did. It did. It was Chiefs, man.
It was 1960, and then 61 and 62, I think, was Green Bay or some shit. I don't remember.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun one. Whenever the point spread is one, that literally means it's a fucking coin toss for who they think it's going to win.
That's a lot of respect for fucking San Francisco's defense, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it over and over. Everybody's like, I don't know. I think this offense might be a little too good, and they just fucking come in and shut them down.
Yeah.
Mahomes is a beast, bro.
Yeah, he's a game changer with fucking... Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill on the same team with a guy like Mahomes throwing the ball around. Goddamn, dude.
Well, that's what how do you it's put a defense together when it's like you don't know it's passing, running,
exactly.
Or,
yeah.
Well, I mean, you guess. Can run too, and you guess, but they do those. I was watching and they set up those different formations in the way that they're playing. It's just brilliant coaching.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, usually you have a standard like either 4-3 or 3-4, which means there's either 3 down linemen or 4 down linemen, and then the opposite number of linebackers. And you do whatever you do in the secondary, but there's all these different covers, man coverage, then cover two, cover three. Mm-hmm. There's all this other bullshit. There's nickels. You're right. It's I don't envy offensive or defensive coordinators in the NFL.
No,
that game is hard, or that job is hard as fuck. Plus, you bear all the weight of bad decisions immediately. Like, what the fuck was he thinking right
And
there?
To my knowledge, the best offense has never faced the best defense in the Super Bowl, so you'll finally have the answer of, what wins, a good offense or a great defense?
Who did the Rams play when Warner was there?
Dirty Curdy. They played New England first, and they lost on a field goal to Brady.
Yeah, but that was a shootout, right?
It was pretty close.
I mean, like, it was a higher scoring game.
Yeah, I want to say 30-27, somewhere in there.
But they played the Titans, too, right?
Yes. And
the Titans
lost by 1 yard. That was the infamous game we lost by 1 yard.
They probably had, like, what, a top 5 defense that year, the Titans?
Yeah.
So it's come close, but I don't know if it's ever, like, halfway through the season, it was the Patriots. They had the best defense, but San Francisco clearly demonstrated that they are the best.
Oh, yeah.
Going through down the stretch and now in the playoffs.
Bosa's tearing people's anuses clean out of their body.
And Sherman's revitalized.
Yep.
I thought it was a game. That sounds really aggressive.
Well, it's more than a game. That's a lifestyle.
That can be
rectal
a game.
Ripping, dude.
Yeah,
that double can be R, a game. Man. Have you ever never you've wrestled before? Have you never done a 3-finger butthole drag?
Like if a guy stick him in there and pull him off, yeah.
Oil check, yeah.
Like if a guy is fucking posted up too good and you can't get his legs out from under him, you just fucking
listen,
jam
if
a thumb
it's a street
butt.
Fight, I'm sucking a dick for him.
You're like, hey, hang on a second, sir. He's like, all right. He's catching his breath. He just start undoing his belt. He's like, are we fighting?
Are we fighting? Because yeah, it seems like we're fucking. We're about to fuck.
It's a great thing right before you fight. You just say you're going to suck that dick when I knock you out.
Justin,
and then it really tees it up to be awkward.
Justin Governell told me that once. Like some guy was trying to fight him, and he was like, I'll suck your dick right now, you piece of shit. What are you going to do? And the guy's like, what?
And that's why you should go to mybookie.com and do whatever Drinking Bros, you know.
You're goddamn right. Thing. Well, so here's the thing. Because the Super Bowl is 2 weeks from now, right?
Okay.
So next week, we do this Super Bowl show. We do it every year where they have 100 prop bets. And a prop bet means coin toss.
Who
How
wins
long
coin
the
toss?
National anthem yeah. is going to last.
Yep.
And this, I hate to say this, and I really don't mean to sound racist. Every time, because I always bet it every year.
If it's a black singer.
If it's a black singer,
I
bet the over.
They add more jazz. They add a little bit more fucking substance to
the song.
A
little more oomph to it, yeah. Whoa. See ya.
You know, when I look at the national anthem, Ross, I don't care what person of color, ethnicity, or culture says it, as long as they believe in the national anthem.
And get the words right.
Yeah.
Yeah, who cares what the fucking tone is, dude.
That was me taking a political statement to not have to comment on that.
No,
it's
funny.
Loser, but if you're betting, you've got to go on race.
But it's funny.
That's true. I've seen even white singers do it, too, when they do their
So it depends on who it is.
If it's Xtina, if it's Christina Aguilera, I'm going over. I'm going over on this shit. Mariah Carey, I'm going over.
It's funny to me how many people get butthurt about alternate singings of the fucking national. Like, nobody got mad when Jimi Hendrix played on the guitar.
No.
It was like one of the most famous fucking versions of the national anthem.
7 a.m. Everybody
time.
Was on acid.
That's true.
This one's a harder one. I'll tell you why. It's Demi Lovato. So it's not white. It's not black. I don't know what Latino singers do
I would
for
bet
the
under.
Anthem.
I would say the under. She's a pop singer, but she's not a great.
Let me fuck with your guys' brain. We're going to go down a rabbit hole here.
I can't wait for
Will
this.
Will Loomis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Went to high school with him. Okay. Played some music with him. He was in a lawsuit for 5 years with Demi Lovato because he had this song called Red Something Box, and the producers of her song stole his band's song, the melody, the mm-hmm. chorus melody, and then made into a you know, 100 million viewed freaking song. And so he's in a lawsuit. And they try to come in and pay him $50,000 cash to walk away, and he refused to. It comes from a rich family.
Yeah.
And I think they're still in talks, or at least he got paid or something. But so Demi Lovato is not that great of a singer. She's just a B-minus singer. So I think she's going to be the under. Weird way I got there.
Yeah,
there
I agree
you
with that. I don't know if I would say she's a B-minus singer, because I don't know. I've never heard her without all of her fucking production happening.
Right.
But she's not one of those. She's not Christina Aguilera, who's known for having a set of fucking pipes.
She's pretty goddamn good. But here's
like
what
on tone.
She's no Christina Aguilera.
On tone and pitch, she is, but that's a different style of singing, right? Like, she's not fucking out of key or anything.
No. But it's going to be close on that over-under.
Have you looked? What is it?
It's not up yet. So it'll be up soon. They're doing all of the prop bets now. Again, D'Anthony and I will do a whole special next week about the prop bets for the Super Bowl, because there is a lot. Right now, here's what we know. We got the spread is one, -1 for Kansas City. They're the favorites. And then the over-under is 56. So and then the first half is 26. So I was down in sportsbook here at Bellagio looking at those numbers. First thoughts before we get into this for next week's show, I'm taking KC and I'm taking the over in this game.
Yeah, but I might take the under in the first half because KC's been getting started later and later.
Yep.
And you saw in this last game too. It's funny because I was sitting there watching the game, and I like to watch comments online as I'm watching the game to see which ones age well and which ones don't.
Yeah.
And Titans fans were getting very excited at first. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, enjoy the first half, guys. That's all you're going to get.
Yeah.
As soon as Mahomes' fucking legs warm up, you're done.
Yeah.
And he starts throwing the ball around, you're done. I mean, it's like fucking...
and it's warm weather. They don't have to deal with any of
the bullshit.
Wasn't he the
first guy to score the touchdown? It was like some 50-yard run that Mahomes did.
And so, that interestingly enough,
come back, right?
Yeah. The odds on these prop bets, you can pick the guy who's going to score the first touchdown.
Yeah, the one person on the field who scores the first touchdown, which team scores the first touchdown, there's 100.
There was a few years ago, I believe it was in that Denver game, the last Peyton Manning one, the first score was a safety. And really? It hadn't happened before. And there was some motherfucker in Vegas who put a grand on the safety, and it was like 50-1 odds.
We made it.
$1,000.
Dun, 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 dun.
But that's how that's how deep it gets.
Not to get weird, guys, but I just refreshed UFC. Adesanya is fighting Royal Romero.
Didn't really?
Oh, for a title fight. That's 85, right? No, 70.
75.
75.
Yeah.
Somewhere. No, 75 is not a weight class.
70.
70.
Jesus.
Middle.
How exciting is that? That's fucking great. Dope. Fuck that thing. I'm drunk. Whatever.
That's fucking awesome, man. Look, speaking of UFC, we were all here for the fight this weekend.
Yeah.
You got to chat with McGregor's trainer, which is fucking phenomenal. Because I think he was in your hotel, right?
Yeah, he was staying here at the Encore where I was staying, and as fortune would have it, I just walked up and saw him, thanked him for, or congratulated him on a great camp, and then had a mutual friend actually sitting with him, and she's like, Matt, and then sat down with her and her husband and John and got talking shop, and we actually did a Free Range American, which is our new podcast, which will be published on Drinking Bros and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sat down with him. That was really cool, and it was very interesting to see the psychology behind this camp comparatively to the Khabib camp and how much trainers and coaches really participate in the ring. And that's kind of the talking points we were hitting on. Like, a lot of people think it's all up to the dude in the cage to fight, but so much goes into that, let alone the people that are cornering him. And then I made a joke to John, because you could see him when McGregor was finishing Cowboy with that left hand, he kind of shook it and took a pause and then picked his shots to finish it, because he was getting kind of that overzealous, which has been a problem.
It's been a problem for him.
Nate Diaz won, kind of went
because
too hard and gassed.
Conor's best, for all of his intensity and his, like, you know, fighting skills, his accuracy with his left hand is what's won him most
ridiculous
in these fights. Yeah. So that's a really good insight.
But you can see him, and I asked John, and John was like, yeah, we told him, calm down, breathe, breathe, breathe.
But because when you say he told him that, he's like yelling that into him, into the octagon during the fight. Now, he didn't tell him, I'm sure he told him before.
No, he was cornering him, breathe, pick your shots.
But anybody who's listened to, and look, I fucking don't give two shits about NASCAR, but anybody that's listened to NASCAR, you see that shit all the time. Like, the guy's in his ear all the time telling him what to do.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you got number four coming up on your right-hand side, shit like that. I mean, it's... why would you not be doing that?
Yeah.
But you don't think about it when you're just a fan. You're just like, oh, they train him and then that's it.
The interesting part about it to me, because you got to hang out with him. We had John Anik on the show.
Yeah.
John's a legend.
Friday night.
He's so good.
All of us collectively had picked McGregor to win going into this fight. The odds were 3-1 here in Vegas. I mean, we bet on it. The one thing that no one can agree on is who he will fight next. Who do you personally think it is?
That's a hard one, because the press conference, you know, McGregor talked in multiple interviews and kind of had different or perspectives on who he'd fight. I think it's right now it's down to two people, the trilogy between Nate Diaz and then kind of a crazy fight, which I would prefer of the Nate Diaz fight, which would be Justin Gaethje, because he's very similar to Eddie Alvarez, but he's got a little more head toughness, great wrestler. So is he going to implement his wrestling, or is he going to strike like he's done previously with strikers? Like, that's a more fun card for me rather than watching a trilogy of Nate Diaz. Like, it goes either way. We know Nate's going to get fucking tagged in the first two rounds. He's going to come back, put the fucking gas on him in the third round, and then whoever can live the fourth and fifth round is going to win. Because
But if it's not a championship fight, there's only three rounds, and Nate doesn't fare that well against strikers in those, because that's his strategy. He wants to get people.
Well, the last one
into
was
the
five
so-called
rounds, and they
that
didn't,
one was, yeah.
and they
yeah.
didn't. It wasn't championship. So if they do a rematch, it's going to be
it's got to be
rounds.
Right.
I think the first was it three?
Or? It was the first one was three. It was a standard fight. Yeah. But that's his thing, and he said that, and a lot of the analysts actually said that after the last fight with Diaz and Masvidal. He's like, Diaz wanted to get into the fourth and fifth rounds. That's what he does, because he knows he can outlast anybody. He's like Steph Curry, never stops running.
Right.
And he's going to be at
Diaz
night.
With Masvidal want to get into?
Yeah. Like, he felt like the fight got stopped early. He's like, look, I'm just taking shots.
I disagree with that. It's like where I pick on the MMA fans is because, like, everybody was, like, fucking getting so pissed about that. But I'm like... It was a New York-based doctor, which they've had a death in boxing out there. And
recently,
it's obviously, but it's like it's up to you not to necessarily take damage that will make you stop the fight. And it was like, you can yes or no it, but that fucking cut was nasty.
It was pretty nasty,
and he stopped him, and he got the better of him in every exchange, other than a couple rights and a left in the pocket.
Masvidal came in stronger.
Yeah,
I felt like Diaz was outmatched, but we never saw him actually get into his game plan either. So you never know.
But I mean, three rounds, like that's a standard fight,
and
you whoop that ass for three rounds, and you're like, okay, that's a caveat because you wanted to see more, and you're a fan of, and I love Nate Diaz, but like.
I do too, but you're right, he, like, even if that's your game plan, you have to know that if you look defenseless, they're going to stop the goddamn fight.
Of course.
Or yeah, whatever. And for me as a fan, when I watched it live, I was pissed that they stopped it. When I watched the playback, when I watched the playback, I was like, oh man, he was fucked up, and I think they had every right to stop that fight.
I get it. I was ready to come on his body.
I get it, but Nate's a fucking tough dude, and he sees himself that way. He's like, look, if I feel like I can continue, I should be able to continue. That's probably what's going on. You know, he's a goddamn gangster in his head. That's how he thinks.
Right, but that's, I think there's a larger conversation there. It's like, at what point do you let fighters not kind of define their own destiny? Because Nate Diaz, with that fucking chin, he's going to go out there and literally be punch drunk if the UFC lets
him. Oh, yeah.
No, and it's like, at one point, you're like, dude, we want to see you, Nate, when you're 60 years old, have a successful, loving relationship and be a father or whatever you want to do with your life, because you're a fucking legend. Yeah, we don't want you to have CTE and fucking have brain swelling, bro.
But Cerrone's the same way. Not that he intentionally takes strikes, but he's not afraid to. And he's the goddamn, if anybody, not that he's ever reached the success that Rocky Balboa did, but that he's a Rocky Balboa type. He's like, look, we're going to hit each other and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is, that's why that, between that and how humble he is, that's why people love him.
Like, well, I love
even
McGregor.
Conor didn't talk shit to him.
No, do you hear McGregor? I love that. He's like, there will be blood spilt, but it will not be bad blood. And I was like, and I talked to John a little bit that I was like, whoever teed McGregor up for this fucking camp, man, like, what a fucking rock star. Yeah. He went back to like the old Conor ways, like stop drinking and just fucking crushed.
Like,
it,
you
dude.
Can talk
so
a
impressed.
Lot of you can talk a lot of shit without actually being a dick.
Yeah.
Like, agreed. And he and but just because of the brashness of his attitude, he's gonna talk a lot of shit without even knowing it.
Yeah.
You don't have to add more, dude. Just do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and to me personally, like, a lot of people bitched about a 40-second fight, and they were like, how is it to beat a 40-second fight? I'm a McGregor fan. I want to see dominance, and I want to see fucking knockouts like that. I was amped about it. But a lot of people were like,
you're
you
a
my
fucking
$60
idiot
worth.
Fan, all you guys, if you bitch about a fucking grown man killing another dude in 40 seconds, essentially.
That's what I think.
And not another dude, Cowboy Cerrone, like, that has every fucking record in the UFC for most fights, most finishes with a head kick. Like, the dude is a goddamn legend, and Conor put him away in 40 seconds. Like, you got to look at that and go, that's what a time to be alive to watch something. That's like watching fucking Mike Tyson fight or Evander Holyfield.
That's right.
Like,
yeah, it's like
legend,
old school Tyson.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's fucking cool.
And a lot of people think that, that he's operated in some weak weight classes over the years and blah, 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 and all the shit. People always, but just because he's such a dick and has been such a dick, people try to take away from Conor every chance they get, but look, he's earned all of it.
Well, dude, he's the first person ever to have three finishes in three different weight classes, 45, 55, and 70. And the interesting thing now,
I mean, he's done it all, man.
All the legends, both of them. And the thing right now for me, like, if we're just jumping to MMA, was like, the 55 and 70 pound division right now is so fucking exciting. You know, Khabib, fucking, you know, dominant champion at 55. We'll see him against Tony Ferguson, which is just like fucking fireworks. It's 4th of July for me, because I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, Khabib's so good, but then you have Tony, who's such a creative fucking striker and guy that is against wrestling. So good. And then you have 70 with Kamaru Usman, who just beat Colby Covington. Mm-hmm. So you have him still in the mix. But then you have Jorge Masvidal, which is probably fighting Usman, which is Dana White released. Then you have Nate Diaz in the mix. And you're like, what the fuck? 2020 for MMA is going to be such an exciting time. Like, legit fucking fangirling over here.
It's going to be a blast. I was surprised after the fight that Dana said the only fight that makes sense to me is Khabib versus McGregor 2.
He said that?
Yeah. And that was his comment at the press conference, and he goes, that is the only fight that makes sense
to me.
No,
I think he said that about Tony Ferguson, because they're fighting. But the thing with McGregor, which I love what he did, and I don't know if you guys know this, but like, he fought 70 with Cerrone.
Mm-hmm.
That was a 55 fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They both, like, literally handshook and said, let's not cut weight and do it at 70, and we'll just come in here so we don't have to cut weight and fucking go through the fucking shit.
Yeah.
But that's teeing him up. And McGregor, with that finish, he's ready, and he said it openly that when Tony and Khabib fight, what is that, in March, I think?
Yeah.
If that falls through, he's prepping his whole camp to dive in, because both of them have pulled out multiple times. So.
Well, he's going to be in camps anyways, because he's got to fight Nate or Justin at some point.
At some point, That'll probably be in the summer.
Months,
I think he wants to return.
Like that,
but
4 months, maybe 5 months.
He said summer.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is, it's like, we're going to see fireworks in fucking, I think, March, right? Because either it's Tony and Khabib.
I mean,
or Khabib and McGregor 2, or Tony and McGregor. I'm like,
either way.
God. Yeah.
Well,
fucking,
I want to see that Ferguson Khabib fight just for.
Me too.
Just to see what a madman striker like Ferguson does against Khabib. And I want to compare that fight to the McGregor fight. That's why I want to see it.
could not agree more. I want that fight to go. Yeah. What is this, the fifth iteration that they've gone through this injuries? Yeah. Fifth time it's been booked, man. I'm like, fuck.
It's close, though. It's like 2 months away.
Yeah, but last time it was a week before. Yeah. I think he fell off a curb, Tony did, and like broke his ankle or some weird shit. It was crazy, man.
But
yeah.
That's the one I want to see, because if Ferguson comes out and gets absolutely dominated, right, just for argument's sake.
That's terrifying for everybody at
55. It is. Then
you
got to
think about, like, I'm gonna gain some weight and go. If you're a striker especially, and you're somebody that, like, Ferguson can gain weight and probably fight in 70. Like he can hit hard. He fucking knocks people out. So he could. If I'm him and I lose that, I move to 70, because what's the point? Khabib's what, 27 years old or some shit?
Yeah,
and he's gonna be around for another 5-6 years dominating that weight class. If he's that good that a striker of those two calibers can't beat him, then like goddamn, man, what's the point?
Well, I gotta admit, like, so when I look at MMA, I always have like a good indication of the stylistically the fire that would beat someone. So it's like when I looked at McGregor and watched the Chad Mendes fight, and I was like, if Chad didn't fucking roll off a weak camp and pick that fight up, I think he would have beat McGregor at that time. And then so I was like, a wrestler's bad for fucking McGregor, right? And so like, but Khabib, how good is striking what showcased in that fucking McGregor fight? I'm like, man, I don't know who beats that dude.
Yeah, also, like, though,
if he beats Ferguson, I'm the same way. Beats him, and then why do you want to fight him?
I think the striking caught Conor off guard. And I don't think anybody's going to get caught off guard like that again.
But that's hard to say, because that's the brilliance of his fighting. And, like, I'm not a huge Khabib fan, but, like, he tees you up for that fucking takedown.
Yeah.
Then he fakes it with that overhand right.
Yeah.
Then you eat the right or the jab, and you're like, I don't want to get hit like that. And then he shoots the double. So you're constantly thinking of what your level changes are going to be. And that's why that is such a dangerous fight style. Yeah, because, like, a guy like McGregor, he's not going to shoot a double on you.
No.
Worry about the left hand. And that's even been proven to be difficult for people.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows it's coming, and they still can't stop it.
It's crazy.
Like, I would love to see stats on it, but he might be one of the most accurate punchers I've ever seen in my life.
Fucking, like, shoulder strikes too, bro.
The shoulder strike, everybody.
Man,
like, I got
that was
actually,
fun.
Actually,
I was watching that, and like the announcers weren't like, "Oh, big shot." I'm like sitting there going, like, "Bro, those are huge shots." Yeah. Like when Cerrone came back with his face, I was like, "Why are the announcers fucking like?"
I know,
fucking dude. Whoa,
I've seen people use that before to create space.
Of course,
that was
John Jones is one of the first pioneers of that.
Yeah,
he just does that shoulder strike.
Like, Conor was not creating space. He was doing damage to his face on every single one
broke
of those.
His nose, I think.
Yeah. Cerrone's face was all fucked up.
Kelly was DMing me on fucking, you know, on Instagram, like, holy shit, are you watching this? What, is he using his shoulder as a fist? I'm like, yeah. He knew we were at the fight. He's like, is he doing that? I'm like, goddamn, dude.
Which is cool, because when we talked about John about that stuff, and like, we were talking about the parallels between military training and the aspects of there's fundamentals that you have to teach everybody, but then there's this sense of like personal development that you're so good at, the things that you can't train in the gym, like why you have McGregor and like intangible skills. Yeah, right. John Jones and why he's so good. And laughing because he said something about in the Eddie Alvarez fight how Conor put his hands behind his back and how fighting's not black and white, right? So we're talking about, on a rule book, you would never put your hands behind your back in an MMA fight. No, you're a fucking idiot. Why would you do that? Right? But then it's like you had these guys that think so high level and they have such a good fight IQ that it's like, well, I'm actually going to get him pissed off because I'm baiting him in to throw that extension of that right arm and I'm going to counter with that left. And you see that even like those shoulder strikes. I'm like, maybe they changed that to create distance. But he saw it, felt it, and goes, I'm going to fuck this dude up.
You can
and
tell. Like, watch the replay. After the first one. He threw the first one, and he threw two more real fast.
And
back
way
to back
heavier.
After
The two and three
He's like,
were
holy
savage.
Shit, my shoulder moved like 8 inches right there. I can really get some force behind this. Yeah. And he caught him. Like, he broke his nose on the second one, I think. And then the third one hit him like right here
right
in the cheek.
The eye,
So it was like, at that point, for me, the fight was over. Because Cerrone was... He was stung. You could tell that his fucking vision was starting to go.
Well, how many times do you see a shoulder coming at you?
It's not like, I mean, that's the thing. You've been in fights before, like real fights.
Yeah, and you train all the
time.
So
it's like, it's not the, like, if somebody walks up and punches you with heavier gloves on, they punch you right in the face, you're like, oh, shit. But if somebody catches you here without your eye line seeing it, you get knocked the fuck out. It's the unexpected jolt to the brain that causes real knockouts.
Well, and there, I think there's like such a psychological discouragement associated with that. We're like, when you work the clinch so much, like they're and they're like, okay, I'm free. All right, I'm gonna break, throw my elbow, throw the left, right.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, there's like a fucking collarbone punching you in the face, clinch. And you're like, what is this asshole doing? You can't do. Wait, that really hurt. Like it's so I think confusing because I've had that happen with like pros. They're just like all of a sudden they're doing some weird shit that I'm like, I don't like that, and I drop every game plan I've had in my
head. It's like an old NBA player like grabbing on the back of somebody's jersey before they try to get a rebound and then jump it over him. It's like little it's gamesmanship.
Just a little tug. Just a little tug.
But it's I mean, shit. I remember watching the replays in slow motion, and he hit him with the first one. And instead of letting go of the clench, he kind of moved his hands down a little bit because I don't know if he understood what was happening. Like, he wasn't still in full clench, but he was still getting his – like, he was moving his hand. Cerrone was moving his hands backwards, but he still took two more of those shots because I don't think he – understood what was happening right there.
No, and
because it was so unconventional,
super unconventional. And I know we're kind of deep diving this a little bit, but I'm like a huge fan. So
it's the sports show.
He even McGregor, like, he overextended that left, and even in the press conference, he said, "I sent it too much." But he's like, "I threw it with such power," because he caught him with that left knee, and I don't think people knew what that left knee damage did. By accident, he came over and caught Cowboy with that knee. And I think that teed up that whole sequence of events. And I think something people aren't paying attention to, when have you seen Conor McGregor throw fucking like five flying knees in 40 seconds?
Yeah.
Never.
Never.
Yeah.
And now that dude is like literally the second he caught him with that head kick, flying knee, put him back, and then he did that overhand left that caught him. And I was like, I think it's a scary McGregor that's coming out here, because he's not just left hand. He's like, fuck you, flying knees, shoulders, changing the game up so people aren't thinking about the other extremities and get caught that left fucking hand.
I mean, it's like LeBron James when he came into the league. It was like, man, this guy's dominant on offense, but he can't shoot. Yep. Then he learned how to shoot. It was like, well, he's the best player ever.
Well, I think the interesting thing about the MMA is when you come up with a new move, right, kind of like skateboarders, other people pick it off. Like,
it's a copycat league for sure. Yeah.
After the Masvidal fights, when he came in with that flying knee kick, it was like, oh, now this can be a thing. You know,
that's that is the funniest thing I've, because I don't like Ben Askren.
He retired, by the way.
He's a chud. After his next fight, he got knocked.
Well, he lost to Damian Maya, which was like the UFC's version of saying Ben Askren can do jiu-jitsu and wrestle, and then Damian Maya, who's like way older and a legend in the sport, just beat his ass. Retire. You don't want
I'm not a fan of Askren, but anyways, that because of that. That was the funny, and I like Masvidal. He talks shit, but like when you hear if he and Diaz fight again, or if he and McGregor fight, they're going to talk some shit, but it's going to be like, look, each one of them will say, look, I know that dude can knock people out.
Yeah.
It is it is. Like, that's what, when that whole, I think maybe the Masvidal-Diaz presser had something to do with how Conor handled his last situation too, because he saw that you can talk a lot of shit with each other and have some animus there, but you can't. You don't necessarily need to take it that far, because those are two of the biggest dickheads in the fucking sport. Nate Diaz and fucking Jorge Masvidal are two of the biggest shit talkers in the sport, right? Maybe ever.
Yeah,
it was interesting.
I would say I would think.
Without any inside knowledge, one would think.
I think confidence creates a culture in your head, and I think that McGregor was having such massive successes, and he got slapped in the face by, I think, probably the Irish people, America, that were like, we don't like this version of you. And he realized how quick all of this can go away. And he got that good, humble moment. Now, for me, it's like, how much longer can we see this version of Conor McGregor? I don't know.
It's funny. We were talking to the Diaz brothers' manager the other day, and we were all just sitting around talking about what's Conor going to look like? And what's his attitude going to be in his next fight? It'll be really interesting to see if he actually did what you just said, learned that lesson, and now he's going to carry that forward. Because, look, he's not old. He's still got half a decade of fighting
he's
left.
31 years old.
Yeah, I mean, you know he's in his prime.
Like,
it's not like he went out and fought a fucking decision fight against Cowboy and snuck by. Like, no, he had a fucking highlight reel knockout that will forever be a part of his pre-fight promotion. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, where does that lead him? You know? Yeah. I think he'll be humble at least for the next one, but Conor McGregor at that weight and that fucking confidence is a terrifying.
I love him at 170.
I do too.
I think biceps are jacked, bro.
Just
I got
stay
hard
at 170
on.
And dominate that division, dude. Leave 155 alone. But his ego won't allow it.
He's
gonna want to go fight Ferguson or fucking Khabib at some point.
Unpopular opinion. I think Kamaru Usman fucks McGregor up, and that's a terrible fight for McGregor.
So if you were watching it at home, he was the one yawning in
it's
the
gonna
first
be bloody.
Row.
Yeah, I fucking hate Kamaru Usman.
Same here.
Like, he's so boring, and he tries to have this swag about him and this confidence and intelligence, and it just like, he falls short every time.
He's like
and
a
that's
dude.
Saying something when I'm like, Colby beat his ass. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, you know.
But it's the technicality of his fighting style versus... Right.
I mean, yeah, it's just velocity over power. Yeah. And then it's like left, right, left, right, left, right, wrestle, yeah. left, right, left, right, yeah. left, right, wrestle. And you're like, it's a great, amazing, brilliant fire. That's why he's a world
But it's like
champion,
watching the Patriots play, or it's like watching, you know, this team just ekes it out.
Yeah.
It's like a dude.
It's boring. It's not a sexy style to watch.
Yeah. But I don't know. What, to your point, I don't understand why he talks so much shit. I mean, he's winning and everything, but. It's like a dude doing layups and then like fucking yeah.
I agree
yeah,
that it's like
dude.
You do a layup. And it's like I'm the king of the game. Yeah, and like yes, you won the game, but you're like fuck, man. Like
should have dunked that ball.
It's
doing?
Like I like guys like Pettis who out there and just lost in that same card. But like every fight he goes out there, just like Cowboy, I'm like
Anthony Pettis doesn't
fucking
give a shit, dude.
Fireworks,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah,
you know for a fact he's gonna run up on the side of the cage and kick somebody in the fucking face.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Something crazy is gonna happen in every one of his fights.
R.I.P. Henderson.
I know. Yeah. Right?
Whatever. No, it was wait, who did he head kick? I forget.
It wasn't Dan.
No, it wasn't Dan. It was. Benson Henderson.
Yes.
That might be the best knockout of all time, to be honest.
It's up there.
It's hard to beat that one.
It's yeah.
But yeah, it's weird that he talks all that shit.
Usman.
Usman. I don't get that.
Usman.
We're sitting there and they're showing the crowd.
You feel like Dana White's just sitting back at like the PI Institute and he's just like, how do we get Kamaru Usman to lose?
Being
exciting is like, fucking send Jorge Masvidal in. Like, I know the bigger fight's Connor, but like,
yeah,
Masvidal go. I think that's a bad fight for Kamaru.
For McGregor, you mean? Yeah, it might be.
No, I think Masvidal takes.
Oh, yeah, Masvidal. Yeah, he's look, that guy.
His wrestling defense is great.
He stays on his feet as good as anybody I've seen.
Bro, he throws bombs
too. Yeah,
like his timing,
terrifying.
And we saw it with the fucking Askren fight. His timing, just generally speaking, is really fucking good.
He's just a mean motherfucker, dude. Yeah. And I was asking John about that. I was like, is there a sense of violence? He called it confidence, but I think there's a sense of violence in these fighters that's just like you can't teach the hatred in Jorge Masvidal's fucking heart.
But it's like
you can't teach that. Like the dude walks in, like, what you fucking say? Bop, 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 three piece and soda, and you're like, yeah. you can't teach
but
some it, fucking suburban white kid how to fucking be a street Jesus.
But
it's like
true.
Dude, it's
but
impossible.
It's like us though. It's the guys who excelled as shooters and Rangers in 82nd and Special Force and everything else have this like innate violence of action in their head. Like you, I've heard. Who is it that I heard say this? It's one of the UFC guys that you've trained with over the years. But he was like, every time you get popped in the face, your reaction is to fucking go wild and start throwing combos and shit.
Cat in the bathtub, dude.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So it's like
fuck
some
this
people,
water.
Some people get hit and they back up and regroup, yeah. but you get hit and you immediately attack, and that's what infantrymen do. Like you hear gunshots and you fire two and then you take cover, right? You don't fucking take cover. You fire two and then you take cover. It's like in your fucking
brain.
Yeah,
it's like
brain.
The fight or flight thing. Yeah. Especially in MMA because people are like reserved and you even see dudes tap with like neck cranks and shit. And you're like,
well, like Conor McGregor, for example.
Yeah, I know that was... Well, he knew he was losing that fight, and I'll give him, he's a strategist, he's a chess player. He's like, why get my fucking TBI and CTA increased when I can just tap and come back a better version of me? Like, I'll give him that.
But yeah. Masvidal's not like that. Masvidal would have let him. He would have been like Gracie letting fucking, what's his name?
Pass him out.
No, he fucking broke his arm. What was his name? Matt Hughes.
Oh,
when he
fought
Matt Hughes, he just kept bending his arm. And Hughes, you can see, actually, they talked about it after the fight. Not those two guys, but the announcers talked about it after the fight in a documentary that I watched. And they were like, yeah, Hughes was sitting there saying, please give up. I don't want to break your arm. And homeboy said something profane. It's like, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
And then turned into Warrior.
This is when
the plot of Warrior.
This
dude.
Is when the guy, he's like getting. That is the part plot of Warrior, yeah. actually.
That's
have
funny.
You've seen that movie, right?
Yeah, it's a good
God
one.
God damn it. That's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
The fight sequences were actually decent.
Yeah. Oh, they're incredible. He goes all in. Gavin O'Connor's the director.
And
he
Tom is a,
like
Tom Hardy is a great actor, too.
The best.
I mean, he's. And Joel Edgerton's
I mean,
a great
watch
fucking
Venom
actor.
And say that statement.
That's
again.
True.
Well,
that was a
good one. If you're getting that money, you got to do a comic book movie.
Great actor.
You know they're making Venom 2 right now.
But like, yeah, how do you fuck that up? Let's super tangent. Like, Tom Hardy's such a good actor, and it's Venom, like the most badass fucking character
they
out
made
there.
Him
and
campy.
He fucked it up.
They made him campy. It's weird that they did that, right? It should have been a
should
dark
I kill
movie.
This individual?
It should have been like The Dark Knight.
Agreed. It should have been a very dark film. Like Dark Knight's my favorite. Yeah.
Like, that's what
they're churning
been.
These scripts out so fast now.
Yeah. What's Christopher Nolan done? He could have handled that movie.
He's
like,
you know,
he should have done both.
If Tom Hardy listens to this, he's just gonna wipe his tears that we talk shit about him with $100 bills.
I'm sure his back hurts.
I'm more than all of them money. Have made in their and whole a, life in one
and week. A bunch of Bert Kuntz t-shirts.
Yeah, and if
apparently
Tom,
he has all of them.
If Tom, you're out there and you're listening to this and you're tired of sleeping on that bed of money, you can go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today and sleep on a more comfortable mattress.
So good.
God, what a great goddamn segue.
Sleep
thank you.
So good, it's scary.
Ooh. The thing about Ghostbed is this. I'm not supposed to say this, but I'm going to. That 25% off everything in the store sale is up, but it's under Flash 25. Homeboy was like, I think it's fine. And I'm like, are you sure? You know how many people this is going out to today? Flash 25. You want 25% off of everything in the entire
everything?
Store. Everything.
Oh, shit. I'm
buying and it works with the pay-as-you-go program. So if you are in the 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest, you can still use this with that sale, Flash 25. Go there now. The deals are fucking crazy anyways, but this one is it's still on there. And I was like, hey, what happened? Did the tech team not take it down? They were like, not yet. And I was just like, oop, all right. Cool, man.
Sounds like a them problem to me.
Yeah. So go there. Go there now. Do it. Fucking Flash 25. You get 25% off everything in the entire store.
I even did the ghost bed thing, and I don't even get paid. I don't have any stake in this game.
Now
you're just a fan.
Now you're over there buying a bed on your phone.
I do. I have two ghost beds in my house. No shit.
The best.
They're great beds.
I'm going to get some
best
new pillows.
The pillows, though, again. Like, the pillows. And there's that 6 months of that scent they put in there.
I know.
I don't know what it is.
You have to ask.
It's like an aloe,
or I don't know what it is.
It's evergreen. Let's just call it evergreen.
We'll call it evergreen. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today for all your mattress needs. Next up, killcliffcbd.com. Have you had this?
I've had one.
It's the best.
I don't know.
Yeah?
I'm not being weird. I've had one.
I love it.
I love CBD.
We drink that shit every night.
Love me some CBD.
25 milligrams in
He's
every
trying
single
to
can.
Get you to send him a case is what's happening.
Is that what
right
you want?
Now.
Are
you not paying attention to what's happening?
I'll send you some shit. They got two new flavors, too.
Perfect.
Grape and mango. The deals with them are this. Drinking Bros, promo code, 20% off. You're 20% off a fucking case. Knocks that shit down to like $390 and you get free shipping. That means it gets you dropped off to your door. Killcliff is a brand you can trust. It's not like you're buying something with fucking Chinese writing on the goddamn can. You don't know what's in it. You will not test for THC. They realize, look, man, we got 80% listeners are military first responder. They're not going to do that shit to you. And again, Killcliff is famous as shit from Range 15, obviously.
I bet Killcliff would go great in that massive vodka pour you just did, Dan.
You know, it's funny you say that.
He doesn't have a mic right now because he's
at the bar in Army-Navy game, they were serving Killcliff CBD and Tito's. And that was the greatest combo of all time. People were just getting rocked before the game.
Yeah,
but
it's really good.
That once that CBD kicks in, you're like, God damn. All right, cool. I don't mind that it's raining out here today.
That's what they should do now. They should require that everybody get at least one CBD alcoholic drink in their body. I think it would tone down all the fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goddamn. UFC presented by Killcliff CBD.
Hey, man, you just want to, like, watch some fucking Netflix and shit?
Not presented by Killcliff CBD.
Well, after the fight, you're drinking that shit. Go to killcliffcbd.com, promo code DRINKINGBROS, 20% off. They ship everywhere, and it's free shipping with that. I want to talk about the purse disparity, since you're here.
Purse disparity?
Yes. You were one of the biggest UFC fans of all time.
Conor
made $3 million.
Yep.
And the total
Cowboy made $200,000.
And the total poll was $84 million, I think.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah.
It was.
Wait, Cowboy only made 200?
Yes. 200 grand. The rest of his contract was backloaded. If he got a submission, he got, you know, $200,000. If he got
double
a knockout, he got
$500,000. Yeah.
Like, yes. And it could have gone up to $1 million. If he would have won, he did not. Instead he walks away with 200, and you know, what we were talking about with some friends of ours inside the game, we were like, yo, man, a training camp for a guy like that typically runs you 50.
All right.
So Cowboy's walking away with 150 grand after the biggest fight so far of the year. And that's a hard one for me to swallow, man, especially with a legend like him.
I have two perspectives on that. One, I think Cowboy is probably a little stubborn, and I mean that in a very reverent way, in the sense of he just probably took the fight and was like, fucking, let's get it done. Let's do this, because he had the utmost confidence.
He seems like
abilities.
The kind of guy that in a negotiation, they'd be like, we'll give you 200K. He's like, all right, cool, let's fucking do
he's
this.
He's a good old boy, man. Yeah. Best in class, man. Such a phenomenal dude. But the disparity with the purses, man, like, first and foremost, I'm a fucking capitalist, dude. I'm a fucking business owner. And it'd be the same thing of like me and someone else going to an event, and you bring 90% of the people to show up that pay a fee, and then you're going to split it halvesies with this dude. It's like, no, but there's creative ways to promote your own brand, your intellect, and all those things that I think play into the fight game. Mm-hmm. So like, I think it's weird when overall, as the UFC becomes more successful, I think the fighters need to get paid more. And I think the Reebok deal is a fucking trash deal because a lot of those guys that go down to Bellator, they get matched their purses, if not more, based off their sponsorships leading up into the fight game. So it'd be nice to see the fighters get paid more across the board. But I have no problem with fight or purse disparity or whatever you're calling it, because it's fucking...
It's crazy.
Conor McGregor.
You
like,
made 84 million.
I have Ireland fucking flew here for the fight.
Yeah.
Like, and the local economy, the hotels, the gambling. It's like, it's a fucking, it's
200K
it's
for Cowboy. Like, that's...
It's low. It'd be nice to see him make at least fucking half a mil or something.
Right?
Yeah. No, I'm on that. I'm just saying.
Just because, like, look, at the end of the day, it is capitalism and you don't want to prop anybody up, but a guy that's put that much into the sport...
Agreed.
You fucking take care of him.
UFC should be like, let me give a couple more
points
to this dude.
You take care of him because
boss.
It's penny. Like in the grand scheme of things, it's pennies. To give that dude $500,000 to do that fight, that's pennies to them.
Yeah.
That's irritating to me because he's like,
I think
the
it was
same.
What, the fourth or fifth most gate of all time?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
That they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vegas
but,
or something.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
John Anik told us, and for whatever reason, I'm sure you can figure it out on your own, but, Conor in Vegas sells more tickets than anybody anywhere in any professional fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me why Vegas. Probably what Ross said is probably because you can come here on like a vacation and it'd be an experience for you. It's not like if it was in New York, you can go do New York shit, but New York is not Las Vegas.
Yeah, but like I think the Irish community, like Vegas is dope, and they're like, let's watch the Conor fight, come out Thursday, party, stay till
Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, those dudes were hammered.
Like, you can do that in New York, but it's like you have to go from one neighborhood to another
Vegas,
and all that shit. Yeah. This is Vegas. The whole town is a party. So it's like
the whole town's a party. You're on the same street. New York, you could be staying anywhere.
Right.
First or 185th, you know? Yeah. And it's like, great. Yeah, you can go to, you know,
takes you 45 goddamn minutes to get down to the bar you're trying to go to. Fuck that.
Exactly. So I think Vegas will always be Vegas. That's why Mayweather refused to fight outside of Vegas.
They shouldn't. I think all the fights should happen here.
Same.
I mean, MSG is cool. I got it. I've been there. I've seen events there. It's dope as fuck, but it's not here. Yep. And it's not like
I want
MSG
see McGregor.
Is cool when you're in MSG. That part's cool, but then as soon as you leave, it's still New York. New York is dope, but it's not where I want to go to see a fight. I want to see a fight here in Las Vegas every single time.
You won't see it in the foreseeable future, but I want to see McGregor in Dublin. Just to watch the
crowd.
Can you
imagine
like,
that shit? Like, what if he fucking loses? The crowd might kill the fucking guy he loses to.
That would be... Well, that's like when fucking McGregor wants to fight Khabib in Russia. I'm like,
yeah.
Nope.
Bad idea.
That one, we would...
It's Rocky IV.
Yeah, we'll
that's
see, how, we'll see how that works out. Can you imagine Khabib fighting Conor in Dublin? And either winning that fight or jumping out of the cage after... Like, if he pulled that shit he pulled here... In 2018, in Dublin.
Oh, he probably would have been killed.
He would have been murdered.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Some former IRA guy would have pulled a pipe bomb and a fucking single shot pistol out of his
who the fuck are
beanie
you?
Pack. And
yeah.
For Ireland!
Yeah, he never would have made it out of that fucking building. I guarantee you that, right?
No. No, he hasn't. What else are you looking forward to this year, sports-wise?
I don't know, just MMA.
Is that all you get down on, is MMA?
That's it. I mean, I watched the NFC Championship, like I said, but just MMA.
Yeah.
Ryan Bader's defending his 205 belt in Bellator, so I'm excited for that. I don't know his opponent yet.
But... He's like the fucking coolest dude ever, man.
Yeah.
I legit have like, I'm not gay, but I like legit have a man crush on him.
Yeah, he is a fucking fighter. Like, if anybody asks me, just like, because people ask sometimes about people we've interviewed or people who've been on the show or people who've just worked with Black Rifle, like, what's he like? I'm like, I've never met him, actually, but I'm like, from what I hear, the best description is that he is a fighter, and that's it.
He's like, he's a better version of what I want to be. Like, you know, like, no shit. Because I'm like, I like to be a really nice dude and like athletic. And then he's like better looking than me, more fit than me. He's like a family man, like loves his wife. His wife's hot as shit. I'm like, I think my wife's got his wife, but that's okay. But no, no, that, but he's just a rad dude. So yeah, I don't know. Just MMA this year, man.
The reason I bring it up is Bellagio was trending all day today. Number one on Twitter. And I was like,
check this out. I already know this.
Were you bumped? I was like, what happened here?
They're trying to put the draft here.
Oh, so they not only are they putting the NFL draft here, they're putting it in the fucking
fountains. Yeah.
Downstairs. So there was a video.
They're going to put platforms over the fountains?
Well, 600,000 people are supposed to be in attendance.
Oh, we'll be here.
600,000 people.
Is that weird? I know this?
Yeah. That's amazing.
My Uber driver told me on the way over. He was like, they're trying to put the draft at the Bellagio. 600,000 people are going to be here. That's all he said to me. So I just bullshit.
So when the players get drafted, they're going to take a little boat over to the stage.
Oh, God. Oh, that's stupid, dude. And
fuck off.
I because yesterday we took a video outside of here. We saw some people in the fountain, and they looked like they were just drunk, wandering. I was like, oh, that guy's fucking hammered and got in the fountains. He's going to get arrested. It turns out they were actually scouting for the NFL draft because that's coming up in April.
Got it.
and what they're going to do is shut down the strip, let all the fans come. And then the players will be on the stage in the fountain. I mean, Jesus Christ. Jesse told me earlier, she was like, you're starting to get Real Housewives of New Jersey with all this shit.
The whole world is slowly turning into like a WWE event, I feel like.
It is. Like, it is.
Listen here, NFL draft at Bellagio. The fountains go off. Conor McGregor flies in on like an eagle. Jesus Christ. Like, what's going on?
Punches fucking... Yeah.
But that's what we've come to as a society. I don't think it's good enough to just be an athlete anymore. You have to have social media.
Well, you're not an athlete. Ryan Bader's not an athlete, neither is Conor. I mean, they are, but they're entertainers at the end of the day. The reason they were able to fight those fights and pay for the training camps and be their primary job is because it's an entertainment industry and they're entertaining people by doing it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's important for people to realize that, like, for as cool as shit as he is, Cowboy is not really a self-promoter. He's like more like us. Like, we're fucking like that. We talked about this the other day, but veterans are notoriously bad promoters of their own shit, whether it be like businesses or like struggles.
Unless you're on a sports podcast and you want to promote the greatest book ever written, Thank You for My Service, co-authored by Ross Patterson and myself. So you should check that out.
Yeah.
So there are select people who don't have a problem.
If you didn't get it for Christmas, you should get it now. Amazon will have that to your house in under 24
there
hours.
There are certainly select people who don't have problems being self-promoters.
Of course.
But for the majority of us, they're not. And I feel like a guy like Cowboy could have, like, he fought like 11 times last year or some shit.
It was the record.
It was like six or seven, maybe
11 times in the last 2 years.
Yeah, no, yeah. When you looked at that, it was like every fucking month and a half or two months. It was 11, crazy.
I think it was 11 fights in 2 years. That means
McGregor fought like what, once in 2 years in MMA or something?
In MMA, he's only fought three times since that he lost in September 2016.
Yeah.
One in 2016.
The Diaz one.
Yeah. Like that was his last win.
You and I were at that
before the last one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was in New York, right?
Yeah. Well, Eddie Alvarez, we were there for that one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. When he won,
dude. I mean, personally, I'd still like him to see. I'd like to see a Mayweather rematch just to do it.
They're going to.
Really?
Yeah. For the money, of course they're going to.
Is that real?
No. So yeah. So Dana White and McGregor both said there are always in talks with Mayweather about a rematch, but. Mexican boxer, Jesus Christ,
Canelo.
They think that fight's going to go down
with Mayweather.
No, Canelo McGregor.
Oof.
Oh, McGregor was going to get knocked the fuck out.
I don't want to see that.
He's terrifying because Mayweather doesn't have power, but he's a technical boxer. Canelo, he throws like sandbags. Yeah, in your face.
his last several fights have been boring as shit, but like he's not lost his ability to knock people out.
It's weird. After Mayweather cleaned his clock, I just checked out on Canelo, man. I don't care. I'm bored. And why can't you learn? Like, if you're going to be a global superstar, his deal was what, 360 with
360 DAZN, for 10 fights,
which is the worst fucking name for a network ever.
They're saying that the Canelo one could be potentially like the highest watched. It's Canelo, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
Canelo.
It is.
It would be the highest watched.
It would because of Latin America.
Mayweather brings boxing fans from America, and Canelo's going to bring
But the Mexican Irish will be intense.
Yeah, but Canelo would bring all boxing fans. Yeah. Like every single boxing fan will watch that fight just because it's the overlap of all the countries that are
involved. Well, that's what McGregor's saying. He's essentially saying he is going to be a world champion in boxing. And I'm like, as a 0-1 guy, I love McGregor. You, buddy, but like...
I mean, I'm sorry. I think he could beat Mayweather because of the age.
I agree.
And I think he
went
might...
10 rounds with him last time.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he might be able to do it because of the age, and Mayweather doesn't give a shit. Now, Canelo's a different story, man. Canelo would clean him out.
It's hard to say how...
see that fight.
It's hard to say if Mayweather was just fucking with him, toying with him a little bit, because that's part of his natural strategy anyways. He's like, after he lost the ability to knock people out, he became a chess player, right?
Is there Alvarez in boxing? I feel like is it Canelo that he's talking about?
Yeah, it's Canelo.
Canelo Alvarez. So that's his last name. So it is Canelo. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I was like, Alvarez. Yeah. Okay.
But after at some point, Mayweather, I don't remember when it was. It was like after his 30th win or something, or his 25th, he stopped being able to knock people out. Like, he just didn't have the knockout power anymore, and everybody made a big deal about it, and he went on to win like all the rest of his fights too. But he became a chess player. I wonder how much of that McGregor fight he was just. Like a Nate Diaz strategy, like, I'm going to take some hits, I'm going to fucking bounce
at
around, I'm going to wait him out.
Four or five rounds,
right?
Because
once he got serious, it was clear that McGregor was outclassed, and that's not a criticism of McGregor. This dude's been doing this shit for 30 years.
Yeah,
like, you're not going to step
best
in
the sport.
Yeah, you're not going to step in and automatically. But still, even those last rounds when McGregor was getting beat, he's still a competitive out there. He's obviously a very good fighter, and punching accuracy in boxing is probably more important than it is in MMA. So it's that skill that is something that translates over there. But
Mayweather's going to be out of money soon.
Yeah, he will be.
Well, that's what Connor said. He's like, he likes to spend his money and spend it fast, and so he's
real
itching
quick
to get back at it.
Yeah, because look, on that last McGregor fight, he owed the tax man $16 million.
Yeah.
So they held his purse, the IRS, for Mayweather, and said, "Hey, man,
believe it.
Taking that 16 out, and then you can go fuck off with the rest of it. But we're taking ours."
He fucked off with. What,
$300 million?
$284 million.
Yeah. So problem is, man, he's getting older, and that's not going to be there forever. If he's smart, he makes that McGregor Part Two fight.
I want to see back to back in the same month. I want to see McGregor fight Mayweather, and I want to see Masvidal fight like Canelo or Pacquiao or somebody or something like that. You know what I mean?
I was shaking because I had the piss real bad. So
go. Yeah,
go ahead.
Tinkle my pinkle.
Just leave a cup for us because we want to test it.
Yeah.
I want to test you on the sports show. We want to make sure everybody's clean.
Oh, I thought you meant test the taste. Because I already know.
I already know what the taste is. It's Jameson.
Where's Pacquiao in all this? Because I've heard his name come up with Connor as well, just in case Mayweather falls through.
Yep.
But if Pacquiao's in the conversation and Connor does fall through, then who does he fight? Is he going to fight a fucking MMA guy or what?
So here's the thing. I think Pacquiao would still beat. Pacquiao's great in his last few fights.
Yeah, but he's
surprisingly
he might win that fight by a fucking decision though.
Yeah,
just because he can land so many punches, like that's his thing. He's accurate as fuck too.
Yeah, and he would throw a million. He's a guy who throws close to 1,000 punches a fight.
Yeah, I feel like Conor would have to knock him out to win that fight.
Yes, so I if it were to be Pacquiao, I still think Pacquiao beats Mayweather. I think Canelo beats. I'm sorry. Pacquiao beats McGregor. And I think Canelo beats McGregor.
God, I think Canelo.
I think
would
Mayweather
knock
McGregor,
McGregor
would be really close. That's one I want to see.
Which
is
funny.
My hatred for Mayweather.
Which
too.
Is funny because if Mayweather fought Pacquiao or Canelo, not right now, but like in his prime, I would have bet Mayweather.
I still
because he's a better technical fighter, but I think that Conor can beat him because of his style of fighting.
So that Pacquiao Mayweather rematch is still out there. And oddly enough, I think if it does go down, I think Pacquiao wins that fight. And I don't want to see Mayweather go out as our new Rocky Marciano.
Yeah.
I want to see a loss on his record. And I don't give a shit if it's McGregor or Pacquiao who takes out Mayweather. I just want to see that go down so he can shut the fuck up and then go back to his strip clubs and be bankrupt in 6 months after. I'm just not a big Mayweather fan.
I walked into an aggressive statement.
Yeah.
That's great.
He's a piece of shit in real. I mean, who are we kidding here with Mayweather? That's just me personally. But there's a lot on the table this year. And again, no one's talking about how the marketing behind DAZN, how that is the worst name.
They're hemorrhaging money.
Maybe
from what
ever
I've
made,
seen.
And they're hemorrhaging
what?
Money.
DAZN.
That's the boxing channel that is now signed every fighter. They own Triple G. They own Canelo. They're their own pay-per-view now.
DAZN?
It's DAZN, but they're pronouncing it DAZN, which sounds like a fucking pizza that Pizza Hut gives away right before the Super Bowl.
Welcome into the zone.
Yeah.
When your appetite's on the 10-yard line,
I haven't listened to any of their broadcasts, so I don't know if they say shit like that, make it puns.
We should do that, yeah.
But, man, I know I'm not alone when I say that I'm not listening to their fights.
Is your hunger in the red zone? Yeah. Get the zone.
They tried to be the Netflix of boxing. Yeah. So they bought every fighter. They own them. However, they're hemorrhaging money. So yeah. Whether or not this gamble pays off or not, I don't know. But I think one of these crossover fights has to happen.
Yeah, agreed.
To get either more fans to the sport of boxing or more fans to fucking DAZN. But it is what it is. Either way, Matt, I appreciate you stopping by today.
Of course.
Obviously, we're live in Las Vegas. Before I let you get out of here, what's going on at Black Rifle Coffee? Every time I see you guys, you got the best fucking apparel and the coolest shit.
Thanks.
You're wearing the Whoopi hoodie right now.
And there's some new flannels from Dixon coming out soon, right?
Yeah, is that real or is that fake? Because a lot of people are posting like fake pictures of what they want Black Rifle.
News. Fuck it, I'll say it on here. Yeah, you know, we're always working towards apparel and stuff, but 2020 has been a positioning year for us. And thank you for asking that, Ross, by the way. But there's some really, really cool stuff coming out to include the official release of ready-to-drink canned option Black Rifle Coffee, going to be across all of the United States.
Are you serious?
Is it like brewed or cold brew or what is it?
No, so it's going to be espresso with mocha and espresso with cream. So a good competitor would be like an S-Bucks double shot espresso.
Sure.
So what we did is we came in and built a proprietary blend for a higher caffeine concentrate, higher protein, a little less calories. Mm. Tastes fucking phenomenal. So we'll be in pretty much nationwide C-stores coming by the end of 2020.
I'm amped about this. I fucking hate Starbucks.
Yeah, well, it's just cool, man, because there's a sales channel that we're missing out on as far as people that are participation with the brand that don't want necessarily homebrew great like coffee. Yeah. They want to have an RTD option.
And it's the same thing you hear all the time. Like people are like, somebody will get a Starbucks somewhere and be like, why aren't you drinking Black Rifle? Like, well, they don't have a store here.
They don't have a store here, so what am I going
to
do?
It's a convenience option.
You got to get that shelf space, and then you got to get that brick and mortar space. It takes time, man. Give us some fucking time.
Well, yeah, and we're looking at 20 stores this year.
Yeah.
So we have a couple key franchisees.
And that's brick and mortar, right?
Yes. Brick and mortar. And we're going to launch those with some key franchisees and then set that story up for success. And then running into 2021 will be the huge push forward to like being a national known brand everywhere.
Just so all you guys out there know, like when we a couple years ago put that feeler out for the franchisees, the initial push was like 7,000 people responded to it. So if you haven't gotten contacted about it, just relax.
Well, that's the hard thing. Because it's like, time. I emailed and I'm like, dude, we didn't know it was going to be that, but it was a proof of concept.
It's got to be 10K by now. Because that was three goddamn years ago almost.
Yeah, and we have great qualified individuals. Yeah. There's some amazing people we're working with. So it's going to be a huge year for us, man.
I'm excited because it's one of those things where when you have the RTD, by the way, stands for ready to drink in case, you know, people at home aren't
in can of coffee
in that space. It's a canned good that you can buy in every single store. What I'm amped about is there is a lot of people on the road, especially with our show, that travel, that work for a living. All they're doing is going in and whatever the closest convenience store is.
And buying whatever's there.
Yes. Monster, fucking Red Bull, whatever it is to keep them going.
When you walk in there will be a Black Rifle coffee can. It is like a kind of a take on the old Tiger Stripe and multicam. And it's fucking good.
Hell yeah.
We did a whole company tasting the other day, and it was like everybody was like, holy shit. Like, yeah, we don't. I mean, it may or may not have been me that picked the flavor profile, but that's fine. It was just a great team effort, man. It's dope. And I'm getting into some short films this year. I have a 23-minute skit lined up for March release.
No shit.
It's going to be wild. What's
that one?
I don't know.
Are you allowed to talk about it? Action filmish?
It's trans Frank.
It will be. Yeah, it's trans Frank. Now, it'll be a take on like veterans versus horror movies, how we kind of do that. But I'm going
long form.
Full production, going to direct it. Like, I have built a script.
I mean, 23 minutes, that's a full TV episode. That's a half hour.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot of shit. It's a lot of work. I literally, the second I leave SHOT Show, I go to a writer's retreat for building up the calendar year. Mm. And then I fly right to El Paso and I'm filming the intro scene, which is like dueling helicopters and some real practical shit. So it's going to be fun.
Tell me how that edit is.
Pilot X is in.
Oh, God. I'm editing it, too. It's going to be terrible.
Tell me how that edit is. Because even a 23-minute show, like I've sold five of those.
Yeah.
3 months was about the quickest, and like even MTV and IFC, they throw you like three or four editors. If it's just you, whew.
Well,
I'll say goodbye to your wife.
Yeah, I'll be piecing the timeline together. Eli's in charge of VFX, and Gallagher will be charged some other stuff. So it'll be a teamwork for sure. But yeah, it's gonna be busy. I bought a $6,000 Predator costume, so that's part of it. Just think about that.
Oh shit!
Listen to me, the dying to get to the job. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, if you haven't already subscribed to BlackRifleCoffee.com's Coffee Club of the Month, do so. Promo code is DrinkingBros20.
Yeah, and if you're a nerd like me, sign up for the exclusive Coffee Club and get that extra goodness.
Yes, you're goddamn right. Plus, you'll get exclusive offers on the new apparel.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of people out there like, hey, man, I haven't seen that hat or that jacket or whatever, man. It's not on their site. It would be if you signed up for the Coffee Club of the Month. So that's on you, man. Look yourself in the mirror today after the show. Decide what kind of man you want to be. For Matt Best, D'Anthony Holloway, Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Sports Companion Show. Good night, everybody.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.